Welcome into the final Patriots preview podcast of the regular season. I'm Alex Barth from 98.5 The Sports Hub, joined by Bob Soucy, the voice of the Patriots for 98.5 The Sports Hub. He is already down in Miami getting ready for the game between the Patriots and Dolphins, getting ahead of the snow too, Bob. You enjoying seeing the grass and being able to walk outside without a coat and all that?
Alex, I have my winter coat and my hat and my gloves with me. I'm more than happy to keep them stowed away for the next couple of days. I was out there with you early today shoveling snow. I'm with you now in spirit, but I got to tell you, it was awfully nice to get off the airplane and feel the heat and then drive to the hotel past palm trees and sand and surf. So not to rub it in or anything, but
no, not at all.
Enjoy the weekend.
Well, you know what? Let's start there then, because you talk about you're in this tropical paradise, right? And the Patriots in the past, they've struggled adjusting from going from Foxborough late in the season down to Miami, and kind of an extreme in this case scenario, going from a foot of snow to what's supposed to be, even for Miami, I believe, an exceptionally humid weekend this weekend. But it seems like throughout the week, players have tried to downplay that. When asked why it's tough to play in Miami, they've said, you know, it's a divisional opponent and it's a team that knows us well. They've cited Brian Flores being a longtime Patriots coach. Do you think the weather does play into it maybe as much as we like to talk about, or do you think it is more just a familiarity thing?
Well, I think it's a combination of the two. I think the weather has to play into it to some degree, no pun intended. And Devin McCourty talked about it. It's a shock to your system when you go from the weather we've been experiencing, even during a mild winter like this year, to humid, low 80, if not higher temperatures. The forecast that I heard and a little bit of what I've read has indicated that it's going to be rainy this weekend, not atypical for South Florida. Right now it feels a little bit cooler than anticipated, but it's still an adjustment just getting off a bus, walking into a hotel. And I can't imagine what it's going to be like for those players, particularly, you know, early on in the game. I would imagine the Patriots coaches are going to try to rotate personnel as much as they can up front. But whatever the reason, the Patriots have struggled here. You're absolutely right. I think there's a familiarity aspect of it too. And but you go back several decades, you know, the Patriots for a long period of time couldn't beat the Dolphins at all, and particularly in South Florida. And then, of course, years later, the Patriots had the team that was the perennial champion in the AFC East and still struggled in Miami. I think Mike Reese had the stat last week that the Patriots are 2-7 under Bill Belichick in December/January games in South Florida.
The other interesting thing about this matchup, by virtue of the NFL adding an 18th game, is it's the furthest apart, really, two teams that have faced each other in the regular season, right? By default, they played in the opener, now in the NFL's first ever week 18. And maybe that's blowing it up a little bit, but it is kind of extreme to see from the beginning to the end. We've seen this before. The one that sticks out is in 2003, the Patriots lose to the Bills 31-0 in week one, beat them 31-0 in Foxborough at the end of the season. I'm not saying that's quite going to be the case, but what is, just from observing the teams, what's the biggest change to you between the week one Miami Dolphins and the team the Patriots are getting ready to face here in week 18?
You know, it's an interesting question because it seems to me that not a whole lot has changed. Obviously, the Dolphins have had this season of swings, huge swings. They beat the Patriots, but then lost seven straight, and they have bounced back to win seven straight. Now, Jaylen Waddle, we saw in his NFL debut, and I think he had four catches in that game and showed some promise. But now we have a nearly full season's body of work for him, and he's sitting on 99 catches, the Dolphins rookie record. But for the most part, I think it's a very similar Miami team. They have changed a little bit in the offensive backfield during the course of the year, but they're still not a team that's especially adept, a team that you fear running the ball. I think Tua still has the same questions surrounding him going into week 18 that he did before week one. In fact, after last week's struggles for him in inclement weather in Tennessee, he admitted to reporters, I know the questions that are being asked about me and what's being said, but I can't worry about that. I think defensively, the Dolphins' identity has emerged a little bit. When you look at that side of the ball going into the season, things have changed more for Miami, of course, among the players jettisoned, Kyle Van Noy and Devon Godshaw let go through free agency. Patriots, of course, for the first time. And I think for the Patriots, too, there are still, you know, a lot of similarities about this team in week 18 that we saw in week one. It's a team that will lean heavily on the running game, I'm sure, if it has its druthers against the Dolphins in this contest, and should be able to run the ball pretty effectively, I think. But they're going to face a lot of pressure from the Miami defense. I thought Mac Jones held up to it exceptionally well in his NFL debut, but he's going to have to do the same in this game, in all likelihood facing waves of pressure from the Dolphins.
And you mentioned that blitz, and Miami is – Brian Flores loves the blitz. This is what they do. It's their identity. We saw last week Joe Burrow against the Chiefs was blitzed heavily, and he lit them up. He had that monster game. Obviously, Ja'Marr Chase a big part of that. But it feels like young quarterbacks – one of the big steps a young quarterback can take, right, is to kind of put the league on notice against the blitz. And it's not something a guy needs to do year one, game one, whatever, right? It's Burrow's second year. But kind of just let the league know, hey, you can't blitz me carte blanche. I'm going to beat it. Mac Jones has been good against the blitz. I don't know that he's had that moment yet. Do you think this could maybe be that game where, heading into the playoffs, he lets defenses know that the blitz across the board isn't a sustainable way to beat him?
Well, I think the problem for the Patriots right now, and you look at it in comparison to the Bengals, and there is a stark contrast in terms of what Joe Burrow has
right
on the outside and in terms of beating the blitz downfield. I think for the Patriots, you know, they had a lot of success with the short passing game, the quick passing game, for the most part all season long, but particularly against the Dolphins in week one. And I think for Mac Jones and the Patriots right now, the way they're constructed, although it looks like Nelson Aguilar is a full go based on the fact that he's been taken off the injury report, that helps. But I don't think you have the kind of receivers who can win those one-on-one matchups downfield very quickly to enable you to beat the blitz and make the blitz really pay the way that Burrow did last week against Kansas City. But I think it's part of an evolving process for a young quarterback. I think Mac this year, as the season's gone along, had some challenges as the blitz has got a little more complicated, as teams are able to disguise the pressures more. And I think that's primarily because of who was coordinating those defenses and the personnel that they had. And I'm speaking namely of teams like Atlanta, for example, under Dean Pease, like Tennessee with Mike Vrabel. I think, you know, Buffalo certainly the second game did a good job, I thought, especially early on, of doing some things like they always have done under Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier against the Patriots when New England's looked to pass. But I think in this particular game, I do wonder, will Brian Flores scale it back a little bit as the Dolphins head coach, along with Josh Boyer, of course, the defensive coordinator? Do the Dolphins look to squat on those shorter routes and the Patriots receivers a little bit more in this game and muddy things up in the 5 to 10, 15-yard range a little bit more, like we saw maybe the past couple of weeks in Indianapolis did, and then pick their spots to come with a blitz from the second level? It's going to be an interesting chess match. As you've mentioned, these teams are very familiar with one another, and under Flores, the Dolphins have played extremely well against the Patriots, particularly on defense.
So all that being said, do you think this is another especially run-heavy game for the Patriots, which can be tough given the conditions, the humidity? They do have both backs healthy. We assume both backs are healthy. Damien Harris listed as questionable, but he was last week. He played. Do you think this is another game where they lean on the run even more than they have on average this year?
I don't know if they lean on it any more than they have. I think that they're, you know, I hate to use the word, they have to have a balance in this game. But I think they have to be able to control the line of scrimmage either way. And I think that does involve the running game. But I think they're going to want to incorporate, you know, Aguilar, get him back in the offense. You know, maybe this is a case where, you know, it's an opportunity again for the 16th or 17th time this season to say, you know, it'd be nice to get Jonnu Smith up and going, because I thought we saw a flash last week when he caught the ball, what he can do with the ball on his hands. And they need more of that going forward into the playoffs. And I think your buddy, Evan Lazar, had an interesting thought on Twitter. And he's so acute with his analysis. During the week, he'd asked Josh McDaniels about holding anything back as a play caller, you know, until you get to this time of the year, particularly, I think, looking ahead to the playoffs. And he said, you know, let's see the Patriots come out in the postseason or something to this effect, and utilize those two tight ends, come out with a 0-2 set instead of a 12 with one running back and two tight ends. Let's come back with no running backs and two tight ends and Smith and Henry going involved in the postseason. So who knows? But I think that they have to. Mac Jones got some confidence last week against Jacksonville. Let's build on that. I think that they want to get, you know, put some more out there for the next opponent in week one of the playoffs.
So speaking of the receivers, since we're on this, the Patriots can technically elevate Christian Wilkerson again this week, assuming Miles Bryant, Yanni Kaju stay on the COVID reserve, which it seems like they're on track to. So they could elevate him as a COVID elevation, and then those numbers reset in the playoffs. So they could elevate him again. Do you think we see Christian Wilkerson again this week? And do you think there's a chance come playoffs, they elevate him and he becomes that, you know, he grabs that fifth receiver spot from N'Keal Harry, who was a healthy scratch last week?
You know, I do, it's going to be interesting to see how the special teams factors into this.
Yeah.
You know, with Duggar out, who gets his snaps in that area. And I think Christian has done a little bit more the last, you know, two appearances for him, certainly in terms of not only offensively, but I think on special teams. D'Angelo Ross played a bit on special teams as well last time out for the Patriots. So I think that's a factor. Look, maybe this is recency bias. Maybe this is, you know, jumping on the bandwagon. It's one game. He had a 50% catch rate. But I think what we saw from Christian Wilkerson against the Jaguars, and granted, it was Jacksonville. You can point to all the flaws of a Jaguars team at full strength in 2021/2022. And you can find a lot more against the team the Patriots faced last week in the home finale. But to me, what we saw from Christian Wilkerson is what you and I and the rest of the people who watched him in training camp got a chance to see pretty regularly. He's a guy that does have some ability, particularly some physical ability that N'Keal Harry doesn't have, in my opinion, to get open. And you know, if he can have consistency with his hand. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's up and running. But then again, with the Patriots the way they are, I wouldn't be surprised if he's down and N'Keal Harry is up and active in this game.
Yeah, I've kind of gone back and forth on that. I wonder if maybe they give N'Keal Harry like a prove it chance this week after seeing what Wilkerson can do. I think you make a really good point about the special teams impact. And that's something, again, that goes back to camp. The other interesting
thing, N'Keal doesn't give you anything on special teams. And I think that's another big nightmare. They tried to put him out there, of course, as return man at Buffalo. And that was a misadventure in those conditions, especially.
And that's a big part of what went back to camp was, you know, nobody thought he was going to come in and be the number one receiver, but it was, he's good enough. Plus what he contributes on special teams. I think the Jacksonville thing, cause I've heard that pushback too. We need to calm down. It was the Jaguars. Well, N'Keal Harry got to play a handful of games against some bad teams over the last 3 years, right? He got to play the Jets twice last year. You know, they played some stinkers, Brady's last year, his rookie year. So, you know, you can only play who's in front of you. And it felt like Wilkerson made more of that opportunity than maybe Harry had in previous tries.
Yeah, I totally agree, Alex. And I think that, you know, there was something to be said based on the reaction of his teammates when he contributed, when he had the kind of game that he did on Sunday. Now, maybe they would have done that for any kid making his first touchdown reception, but just the reaction on the sidelines live as it was unfolding. And also, I think that, you know, when you look at some of the words that are spoken and go back and re-listen, you know, maybe it was a wake up call for N'Keal Harry, or it was finally, you know, hitting the button on his hopeful contributions to the team and finally giving Wilkerson a chance. But yeah, it seemed to me that Wilkerson was being rewarded for what he had been doing consistently over the course of not just, you know, 1 week or 2 weeks. And it wasn't just a punishment for N'Keal Harry, but it was also a reward for Christian Wilkerson.
Certainly. On the defensive side of the ball, the pass rush the last couple of weeks hasn't quite been where it was when the Patriots were on that 7-game winning streak. Now they get a chance to face a Miami offensive line. I thought it was interesting on Wednesday, Bill Belichick called them consistent, and I wouldn't disagree with him. They've consistently struggled, though, is the point. We talked about last week being a get right game as a whole for the Patriots, and certainly felt like they grabbed that opportunity. They won by 40 points. Specifically for the pass rush, though, do you think this is a get right game? And is this sort of a chance for them to get back into a rhythm heading into the playoffs? Because if the Patriots are going to contend against Joe Burrow or Josh Allen or whoever, they're going to need to put pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah. And again, I think it's, you know, it's one of those situations, though, too, is that with a quarterback who's somewhat mobile. Now, Tua does not have the ability of Josh Allen, of course, in any facet of his play. But even as a mobile quarterback goes within the division, or for that matter, Zach Wilson, frankly. But Tua can hurt you a little bit with his legs. We saw him, you know, with a rushing score against the Pats. And I think this is a guy that the Patriots want to exert some pressure on if they can, because he will make mistakes, as we saw toward the end of the week one matchup when he gave the Patriots the opportunity to come back and take the lead in that game. But at the same time, of course, there is some mobility there. It's also an offense for the Dolphins where the ball gets out quickly, so it's hard to get to him. I think he has the third quickest release time in the NFL right now, according to Next Gen Stats. So to me, I think it's going to be another case where the Patriots have a controlled pass rush. What I would like to see, though, and what we might see, are a couple of guys that generally don't get opportunities in games, or at least haven't of late, like this, where there's a mobile quarterback, where it takes more discipline in your pass rush. And that's Chase Winovich and Josh Uche, because those are two guys that, you know, may down the road play an important part. Strange as it might sound for a guy like Winovich, who didn't have any defensive snaps. But I think, to your point, they didn't get enough pressure. And even while the stats suggested they did, for example, against the Bills and Josh Allen, I think there's a balance there between having a contained rush and keeping a guy in the pocket, but also getting the kind of pressure that affects throws and forces bad decisions. And when I look at Winovich, didn't play on defense for several games in a row, but he is able to get to the quarterback when he's out there. And I think he's a guy that they may rely on at time, you know, as a spot situational rusher. And I think Uche, because there's got to be something else on that side of the line to complement what they hope to get again from Matt Judon, the way I see it.
So the flip side of that too is the RPO is obviously a very big part of what Miami does.
Yep,
they're the heaviest RPO team in the league. So what do you expect from a guy like Uche or Winovich in this game, guys who maybe aren't as disciplined, when you have to really be on your keys against a quarterback that can pull the ball or give the ball at the last second on any given play?
Well, that's a great point. You know, as DeMarcus Covington told us, as the defensive line coach, you know, against an RPO, if you're playing on the defensive line, you play the run. And, you know, you have to do your job. It's the kind of thing that ultimately tests, you know, your ability to do your job and then stay focused on doing your job. It's also, I think, a down situation, matter. I'm not saying put Chase Winovich out there or Josh Uche out there for three downs, but I think maybe more so in some obvious passing situations and try to bring some heat onto it in this game and force some of those mistakes, the kind of mistake we saw in week one. But again, you know, to Miami's credit, they've been able, for the most part, to limit the turnover problems that I think potentially a guy like him could have, being as short as he is, with some of the ball handling problems he's had. He had three fumbles in the game last week, lost only one, you know, and even against the Patriots in week one, turned it over just that one time.
You talk about the discipline of defending the RPO. Adrian Phillips, actually Friday afternoon when we were talking to him, said in some ways it's like defending Army or Navy, where they just really, you know, test how well you know your assignment. So for you, are there any, I know it's not quite the same thing, and sometimes people get annoyed when you compare the RPO to the triple option. Is there any sense of nostalgia for you calling such an RPO heavy game?
Well, you know, it's assignment football. And, you know, the thing about Navy, that the good teams that I got a chance to watch on a regular basis were able to do, is they took advantage of a defender's overzealousness, his overaggressiveness, his inability to just maintain his assignment. And as soon as a guy cheats, or as soon as a guy tries to do too much, then bam, they're able to exploit that. You know, the quarterback's able to pull the ball from a fullback and either keep it himself or pitch it because somebody on defense broke down. It's a math game. It's a numbers game. I think in this contest, the Patriots, for the most part, have to try to limit what the Dolphins get, you know, from that 5-yard window on. We saw in that first game too many of those throws down the middle, those quick slants that, you know, they should have been catch tackle, but they were catch and run it for 14 yards. And I'm thinking of one player in particular, and I thought there were too many of those that were easy in that game. That was week one. Now we're week 18. You know, not that they've seen a lot of RPOs, but I'm sure they've practiced them the last few weeks. You know, Buffalo incorporates some RPOs in what it does. You know, Jacksonville certainly does with Trevor Lawrence, and the Patriots, of course, had to prep for him just a week ago. So I think that this is a team that's probably gotten a lot of snaps going up against RPOs. And when they talk about do your job, I mean, this is ultimately, when you're going up against a team like Miami, a do your job kind of game.
Just as we wrap things up here, taking a look around the rest of the slate, week 18, Patriots fans will have their eyes on Bills Jets. We'll get to that in a minute, but assuming the Patriots end up with the wild card spot, the two most likely draws for them are the Bills or the Bengals. If you're looking at this in terms of the Patriots' better chance to advance, I think, as people who cover the games, we all want to cover big games, obviously Patriots, Bills, yeah. There's juice there, right? But in terms of the Patriots advancing, which team do you think they have a better chance against? Which team should fans hope they draw of those two?
I was asking this question earlier today and I went back and forth. Not surprising.
I've been going back and forth. It's a tough one.
I do that with every question I get. You know that. on the surface, I see Cincinnati, a team that hasn't been in the playoffs, the nucleus of its team that hasn't been to the playoffs. It's a young quarterback who hasn't faced a Bill Belichick conceived defense. The Bengals defense, I think, has had a good year, but we don't really know that much about them, or at least I don't. And the Bills, of course, we saw the way the Bills played against the Patriots just a couple of weeks ago. But then there's that other part of you that wants to see a third game between the right. Patriots and the Bills. And I do believe that if they were to play for a third time and the Patriots, it would be a very different game than the first time they played in Orchard Park. And I think it would be a very different game than the second time they played in Foxborough. I think the Patriots would have a much different approach to the game. Josh Allen went off the field in that game saying, who did that? They think I was, and he proved to be patient. The Patriots were willing to test him, and he took what they gave him for the most part and avoided the critical mistake that he's tended to make at times. But he also hasn't played very well comparably in Orchard Park. I'll take the win game away, but in fact, overall, his home road splits, it's an interesting difference because he's better, or he has been better on the road, and I think it's been especially glaring, in his performances against the Patriots overall during his brief career. So, that game would really be intriguing. I think, from a fan standpoint, for satisfaction, if you leave in Foxborough, you're going up Route 1 north, and you see that billboard, the Bills fans, back-to-back best fans in football, they're still celebrating their win from a couple of weeks ago. Don't you want another shot at Buffalo? But maybe you want to get a little bit later in the playoffs and match up with Cincinnati on Wild Card Weekend first.
Yeah, the juice is certainly there. I was on a show earlier today, and I compared it to, I remember this year, the wild card chase in baseball, right? And it looked like the Red Sox are going to play the Yankees or the A's. And the A's were the obvious inferior team, and you want the Red Sox to advance. But it was like, give me Red Sox-Yankees one-game playoff. Like, you can't not want that because of the drama. So that all being said now, Patriots still can technically win the division and draw a host of other opponents. But for that to happen, the Jets, who took the defending champions to the brink last week, the Jets would have to beat the Bills. What do you think the likelihood is of that happening?
I think it's likely, but I'll give the Jets more of a chance than I think many people will. I thought Atlanta had an opportunity. I thought the circumstances were right for the Falcons to pose some problems. Unfortunately, they couldn't sustain it. They had a 15-14 lead early in the third. And Allen, again, did not play. He's going to get credit for his legs, and he should. He led the Bills in the second half primarily with his legs, but he had a very poor first half passing the ball and early into the third quarter in that game. The Jets seemingly are playing hard these last couple of weeks. I think the Bills should win easily at home. They've got something to play for. They got a bit of a scare last week. They should be ready to go against a division foe that they're, far superior to. It's a much more talented team. But, the Jets have run the ball pretty well of late. They even ran it pretty successfully against Tampa Bay. And if they are able to do that, although Carter got hurt last week, and I'm not sure what his status is for having checked, late in the last day or two to see what his status is for this weekend, I think the Jets can run the ball and have some semblance of running game, which they haven't had for much of the year. They might be able to stay in that game. Who knows what happens? They had the opportunity to beat the Bucs at home, and they let it get away. Totally botched last-minute situation, really, on their offensive coordinator who took responsibility for it. So I think they've been playing better of late, and at least they have a puncher's chance. And if they can run the ball, limit some possessions, and just keep themselves in the game that way, because, certainly – the Bills are still, I think, vulnerable to the run.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't know that it's likely, but I think the Jets are maybe getting slept on a little bit here. Like you said, they almost beat the Bucs, and if every team that lost late to Tom Brady couldn't win, no teams would win in the NFL. And they upset the Titans earlier in the year too, who are probably going to be the number one seed in the AFC. And that's when the Titans were healthy. They had Derrick Henry. So I'm not totally sleeping on it. I wouldn't put any money on it, but I don't think it would be the weirdest thing that's ever happened. So
no, I agree. I agree totally.
I usually wrap up this show every week by having the guest finish this sentence. The Patriots will win this game because now I know the guys calling the games try not to make predictions. So I'll give you the out here. I'll change the question a little bit. If the Patriots win the game, I'm not asking you to predict that they will, but if they do, they will have won the game because.
They will have won the game because even with perhaps a couple of practice squad players in their secondary, and there's that possibility in this game, they will have forced more than one turnover from the Dolphins. They'll win the turnover battle. I mean, I know that's stating the obvious, and that's the old coach's cliche, whoever wins the turnover battle, but that's been the story for them all season long. And it was the story certainly in game one this year, the lost fumble at the end, but also the fumble by Stevenson early and the inability to fully take advantage of the Tua interception. I think that, you know, they've got an opportunity in this game to force some mistakes from Tagovailoa. They've got to do that to win, I think, in South Florida against a team that knows them well, will play them hard and play them well. It should be a close game. But I think the Patriots – and I look for Kyle Van Noy. Maybe this is the revenge tour game. Maybe Kyle Van Noy comes away with a big play defensively for the Patriots. But I think they're going to force Tua into some mistakes in this game. And maybe his confidence is shaken after last week.
I'm with you on that. And I don't know how many times this year when talking about this team, I said, I know it's obvious, but it feels like for this team this year, it's just been about embracing the no does, right? Don't turn the ball over, score first. Don't commit penalties. It sounds simple, but there's a reason that it's simple. It's because it works. It's always worked pretty much across the board. So I agree with you. I think if they win the turnover battle, which they can do in this game, they should be in good shape. He is Bob Soucy. He will be on the call Sunday, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Bob, thank you so much for joining us.
Alex, my pleasure. Thanks. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.